Unleavened Bread Ministries presents Hidden Manna for the End Time with your host, David Eales.
Hello, friends. This is David Eales. God bless you and thank you for joining us. We have some very important revelations to share with you that were shared with me over the last 30-something years, sometimes in word of knowledge or word of wisdom. They are very, I'll say, untraditional, but you should expect that in these days. The traditions of men have been making of no effect the Word of God. And these revelations will help you to cooperate with God in the time to come in manifesting His Son in you and in understanding the things that are going on around you and the great purpose that God has for these end times. May God give you eyes to see and ears to hear, so that these will be a great blessing unto you. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You may hear some things here that are not fitting with your traditions. God bless you.
Part 40, Fall of America, Rise of the Saints.
Think about it, folks. I can tell you right now, John Kerry talked about, you know, back after the Vietnam War, how the great atrocities that the Americans did over in Vietnam. And Yuri Andropov, by the way, who happened to be the head of the KGB at that time, he said that was all disinformation. He quoted what we sent over to America to dishearten the American people in that war and to give them a mistrust for their government in that war. He said that guy quoted everything that we said. You understand? Disinformation is coming into America to raise up people in this country to fight against America. It's coming in right now. It's very easy now. All you got to have is the internet. And Christians just swallow it up and then pass it on like it's the Word of God. But it's internet gossip. You know how you know it's gossip? Because the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. You know what that means? It means if you permit this into your computer, you need to have two or three witnesses before you do that. So a lot of stuff that's being passed around is garbage. And it's being sent here by the Chinese, who in their warfare manual said they were going to do just this with disinformation, to stir up Americans to fight against America. It's happening now. They're making war on America now. The Lord said to me several years ago, He said that spirits of paranoia will raise up a rebellion among apostate Christians against the United States. And what did He say was going to happen in the verses before that? He said that I should drive you from your land. What is our land? Israel, spiritually speaking. It's Israel. You see, but when these people rise up contrary to the commands of Scripture and fight against this government, they are departing from their land of abiding in Israel and abiding in Jesus Christ. They are departing from it. Let me share with you a revelation the Lord gave to me through the Word of Knowledge concerning this rebellion and this civil war. In Ezekiel 17, in verse 2, it says, Son of man, speak a parable unto the house of Israel. Now we know that that's talking about us now, right? Okay. Verse 3, a great eagle with great wings. Who could that be? Nobody but America, right? Came unto Lebanon and took the top of the cedar. Now, you know, the cedars of Lebanon were likened to God's people. God likened them to His people. Why? Because the cedars of Lebanon were evergreens, which is a symbol of eternal life. And because you know what a cedar is, right? Nothing can attack it or kill it. It's almost impervious to any bugs or anything that comes against it. Another symbol of eternal life. So God likened them to His people, right? Well, the Babylon or America, came and cropped off the topmost of the young twigs. And what the Lord showed me was that's talking about the immature leadership of Christianity. You know, in Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 4, he says that his people were ruled over by children. He said, children rule over you. And he was rebuking them because their leadership was very immature in the ways of the Lord, the knowledge of the Lord, the following of the Lord, the experience of the Lord. Even today, folks, it doesn't take anything. You don't have to sit at the feet of Jesus anymore. You can go to Bible college and get your certificate and you'll be promoted right over the people of God. Well, that's what happened in Jesus' day. In Jesus' day, the Pharisees and Sadducees, Jesus said they came up another way. They didn't come through the door. They got their education, they got their certificate, and they ruled over the people of God, and they didn't know God. They didn't know God. They were very immature, children in the ways of the kingdom. And that's the way it is today, too. See, history just keeps on repeating itself, you see. Children in the ways of the Lord. Well, now we're seeing that America is going to take this immature leadership, watch, and carry it into a land of traffic. You know what the land of traffic was in the Bible? It was Babylon, but now it's the United States. All right? He set it in a city of merchants. Well, that is this gathering together of the leadership of not only Christianity, but the other religions is being gathered together under the UN in New York, a city of merchants. It's the UR in the UN in New York. That's just exactly what Constantine did. Exactly. History repeating itself. He took also of the seed of the land and placed it beside many waters. Well, think about it. If you're beside many waters, then you're under the harlot because the harlot sits on many waters. And the many waters was the beast kingdom too. So if you're beside many waters, you're a member of the beast kingdom. Because anybody, actually the Lord showed me years ago, anybody that walks after the flesh, the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh, the mark in the forehead and in the hand is the spiritual mark of the beast, not the physical mark of the beast, but the spiritual mark of the beast. These people are going to be the ones to take the physical mark of the beast because they don't walk by faith in God. They can't live in the wilderness by faith in God, and they know it, so they're going to take the mark of the beast. Multitudes of Christians, of what we're calling Christians, are going to take the mark of the beast. So they're going to take the leadership up there to be rulers over us. No vote involved. They're not going to ask your permission. They're not even going to ask who you like. They're just going to promote these people to a place of permission. Puppets for the beast. Puppets for the beast. To make the rules for us. And when we break them, guess what? We're going to be outlaws when we break them, you see. They're not going to ask you. So the people of God under the harlot who sits on many waters are going to be members of the body of this beast. Now, members of the true beast covenant with the United Religions. And he goes on to say, and it grew and became a spreading vine of low stature, whose branches turned towards him. In other words, like Constantine's leadership over all of religion, they all submitted to him. They liked their paycheck. They liked their esteem that they received. They liked the power that they received, you know. A lot of people go into the ministry because they have a lust for power and position and authority. Not for the right reasons at all. Not because they're sent of God, necessarily. And it grew and became a spreading vine of low stature, whose branches turned towards him, and roots thereof were under him. The interpretation's in the text. Verse 12 says, say now to the rebellious house, behold, the king of Babylon, the United States, came to Jerusalem and took the king thereof and the princes thereof. That's the people of God, and took the leadership of the people of God. This is a type of the apostate leadership of Christianity in our day, same type, and brought them to him to Babylon. Then the nations, this is my statement here, then the nations with the U.S. at the head will confirm a covenant with the false prophet leadership of God's people. And he took of the seed royal, that's the leadership of Christianity, and made a covenant. There it is right there. Who's going to make the covenant? Some individual man? No. Babylon, at the head of the nations, the image of the beast. You know what the image of the beast is? It's a picture of him. This is the beast, Babylon at the head of the nations. And he took of the seed royal and made a covenant. Notice that. Remember that word covenant right there. And you know what the covenant is going to be like. You can always already see the beginning of it, right? It's a covenant of a generic God, because we don't want to offend anybody, and an impotent gospel that won't bring any salvation through faith in the promises of Jesus. And it's a covenant of tolerance towards all false religions and sinners. That's what it's going to be like. And so that the kingdom might be base, that it might not lift itself up. It's fallen, like he said in Romans 14. It's fallen down. But that by keeping his covenant, it might stand. Notice I underlined covenant twice here. Watch. At this point, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, from the first mention of the word covenant in verse 13, count. Well, 13, you know what 13 is, right? It's the number of antichrists. It's the number of apostasy. It's a number of rebellion in the Bible. And it starts where the covenant starts, in verse 13. And he told me to start counting right there. And he said, how many verses does covenant cover? I counted. I didn't know. I counted. There were 7 verses. And he said, that's the 7 years of the covenant, Daniel 9 and 27. Okay. And how many times is covenant spoken in those 7 verses, he asked me. And I said, 6 times. And 6 is the number of the beast, and it's the number of man. All right? The 6th chapter of the 6th book of the 6th verse of the New Testament, what's it talk about? The old man. The old man is the beast. The old man throughout the earth is the beast. How many verses before covenant is broken? Before the covenant is broken. I counted, and it was 3.5 verses into the 7 verses. And you know when the sacrifice and oblation ceases? In the midst of the week. In the middle of the week. So there it is, exactly. And what we can see here is the U.S. great eagle over the U.N. will make the unrecognized beast covenant. Why do I say it's unrecognized? Because nobody recognizes the beast, nobody recognizes the harlot, nobody recognizes the covenant. Everything that they've been preaching for years is teaching the letter. But the letter kills and the Spirit gives life. When you bring something from the Old Testament into the New, it has to be translated and according to the types and shadows that have already been shown. Jesus came in the end of the Old Covenant. But very shortly, he became a corporate body of people. And that's the type. When you go from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant, you're talking about changing from an individual as a type and a shadow to a corporate body. And if you go back to the teaching I have on the beast, the son of perdition is there. One of the clearest things in all the Word is that there is a corporate body of people sitting in the midst of the body of Christ called the son of perdition, just like Judas Iscariot sat in the midst of the body of Christ as the son of perdition. In our day, we need somebody to bring us to our cross. The beast was involved, the harlot was involved, and the son of perdition was involved in order to bring the people of God to their cross. This is the plan of God. It will work. It's worked in the past. The Jews, like the apostate Christians, they didn't know that they had a covenant with the beast to crucify the saints. They were already in covenant with the beast. That's why they killed Jesus and the disciples. That was the false prophet leadership of Christianity. A sect of the apostate Christian leadership will break the oath and the peace covenant. Notice, I didn't say the beast was going to break it, because the Bible doesn't say that. Christians are going to break the covenant in America. Watch. But he rebelled against him. That is the leadership of apostate Judaism rebelled against the king of Babylon. The leadership of apostate Christianity will rebel against this covenant that's made by America at the head of the beast, in sending his ambassadors into Egypt. Now, you know what Egypt represents. Paul said that they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. He called the Red Sea experience a baptism. And you know, in their baptism, the old man dies and the new man comes to life, right? That's what baptism's all about. Well, the old man was the Egyptian. and the new man was the Israelite. So he's telling us plainly what it is to go back to Egypt. It's to go back to submitting to and under the obedience to the old man when you go back to Egypt. So it represents the old man. As I said before, Israel ran to Egypt for help to defend themselves against Babylon's dominion. And it says, he rebelled against him in sending his ambassadors into Egypt that they might give him horses. Horses in the Bible, I believe it's Psalm 147, says that God taketh no pleasure in the legs of a man nor the strength of the horse. Why is he comparing the legs of a man to the strength of a horse? He's talking about a man who walks after the flesh. A man who harnesses the flesh of the beast to do his work for him. You know, a lot of people, they do their works totally in the flesh, totally by the flesh. They use the strength of the flesh, the old man, to do their work for them. And you know what we use horses for? We harness them to do our work for us, right? And shall he break the covenant and yet escape? This is the question. Shall he break the covenant? There's another time that it was listed among the seven. And verse 16 is where he actually breaks the covenant. Surely in the place where the king whose oath he despised and whose covenant he break. There it is. Covenant he break. That's 3.5 verses into the 7 verses. In the midst of the week, again, even with him in Babylon, he shall die. See, the people that break the covenant by going to the strength of the arm of the flesh, the Bible says, cursed is the man that trusts in man, Jeremiah 17:5, and maketh the flesh his arm. See, if we don't obey the commands given to us in the New Testament, but instead we take up arms against this country, God says he's going to use them to destroy you if you do that. There are many patriots in this country that claim Christianity, and God is going to cleanse Christianity of these people because they are militant and they are not going to the cross. Neither shall Pharaoh with his mighty, even with him in Babylon, he shall die. Neither shall Pharaoh with his mighty army help him in the war, for he hath despised the oath by breaking the covenant. Again, we see we're talking about Christians breaking this covenant, okay? Verse 19, as I live, surely mine oath that he hath despised. Look at this now. The Lord is saying that he's broken his oath. As I live, surely mine oath that he hath despised and my covenant that he hath broken, I will bring upon his own head. How is it then when these people take up arms against America, how is it that they're breaking God's covenant that he's going to bring upon their own head? In the text, it gives us an explanation of trusting in Egypt. There was also another great eagle with great wings. Now, how many great eagles with greater wings do we have here? You know, we only have one, right? You know what he's talking about? A civil war. This is what the Lord showed me. This other eagle with great wings, the same phrase, is used of Egypt as it was used of Babylon. But we can see that Babylon is a spiritual entity here in America, and Egypt is a spiritual entity concerning Christians in America who trust in the arm of the flesh to save them. So there's going to be a civil war. And this vine did bend its roots towards him. Militant Christians trusting in the arm of the flesh is what this represents. And all his, that is God's rebels, God's fugitives, shall fall by the sword, and they that remain shall be scattered. Isaiah 30:1, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that make a league, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that set out to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth. The people who tried to be out from under the dominion of Babylon, to the extent that they ran down to Egypt for strength to fight against them, those people were destroyed. Like I said, Babylon went down there, conquered Egypt, and killed them. That's what happened. And that's a type and a shadow for what's going to happen here. The same thing. A civil war is going to happen in the United States. Christians and conservatives, if you will join together against this government to fight against this government. And God's basically going to weed out the church this way. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the refuge in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. These people that rise up against this country because they've been taught this way, basically, that you don't have to obey the Sermon on the Mount. Resist not the evil, love your enemy. These people have been... There's a guy that's not far from me that's talked about me on the radio quite a bit. He seems to like to stick pins in me as a doll, I guess. But this guy is raising up a large group of people in Pensacola to fight against this government. He calls himself a patriot, and he's a Baptist pastor. And God, they don't realize. They don't realize where they're going with this. They're going to a civil war. They're going to be weeded out of the body of Christ for rebellion against the Word of God. Jesus said, love your enemies. He didn't say to kill them. And in Matthew 5, 38 and 39, you have heard it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, resist not him that is evil. But whosoever smiteth thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And this is the doctrine of non-resistance that Jesus teaches all through the New Testament. And the people that rebel against this are the people that God is going to turn over to the beast for destruction. Romans 12 and verse 19, it says, avenge not yourselves, beloved, but give place unto the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. The Lord demands that we give all recompense to Him, all vengeance unto Him. And that is taking up our cross and following Jesus, because in our non-resistance of evil, the Lord will resist it for us. The U.S. will kill those who rebel against God's covenant to fight with them. The Lord said to me some years ago, He said, in this way, I'm going to cleanse my church of those that refuse to obey and go to their cross. And David Koresh was a real good example of this. If David Koresh had not stored up weapons with the plan to use them against the U.S. government, he and all of his followers would still be alive today. I think God is showing us a very good parable in that. I'm not saying the government did anything right. They obviously didn't. But God did not defend David Koresh and the Branch Davidians. He didn't save them and He didn't defend them. And basically the same thing is going to happen, just like at Masada. You know, the same thing is going to happen. We're hearing today a lot of talk of secessionism, seceding from the Union, and going to one particular state and raising up a Christian state there. And we've never heard this since the Civil War, and obviously history keeps repeating itself, so what we're about to see now is a civil war because of this secessionist idea. Israel, as a type of the church, was in bondage to the Roman beast for rebellion against the Word. And Jesus, as a type of the end-time man-child of the 3.5 years of the beginning of the tribulation, suffered for Barabbas. You know what Barabbas means? Barabbas, his name means son of the Father. And if you was to look at that today, you would see the man-child and Christians today in the same respect. Mark 15 and 7 says, and there was one called Barabbas. And Barabbas, as you know, was a Jewish patriot, much like many Christians call themselves patriots today. He was a Jewish patriot. He was lying bound with them that had made insurrection or revolution. Men who in the insurrection had committed murder. Notice that what God calls killing Romans in that day was murder. The Romans had invaded their land, had taken over their land, and had brought them into bondage. And yet God calls it in the Bible murder when the patriots killed Romans. Is it any different in our day when the Christians, patriots, rise up and begin to kill people in this land? Because it will happen. It will happen soon, just as we saw recently the parable that I shared in Ezekiel 17. In John 18 and 40, it says, they cried out therefore again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Jesus suffered, Jesus as the man-child, suffered for Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. Obviously, stealing from the Romans is also robbing, you know. And right now, we're seeing in this country, in fact, over the last several years, they've caught quite a few people stealing from the military. And obviously, they were storing up weapons for a future battle. Paul, as a type, this is where all of this is going to come back on the true Christians. It's going to bring persecution on the true Christians. Because Paul, as a type of innocent Christians in our day, was falsely accused as a rebel and imprisoned. And he wasn't guilty of Barabbas' works or his followers. In Acts 21 and 38, art not thou the Egyptian? Again, we saw the other day that trusting in the arm of the flesh to fight with Babylon was going back to Egypt. And Paul here, as an innocent Christian, is being accused of being an Egyptian, which he was not. Art not thou then the Egyptian who before these days stirred up a sedition and led out into the wilderness the 4,000 men of the assassins? And remember Masada, because God did not defend those people. They were Jewish patriots, and God did not defend them. The Roman beast wiped them out. The reason was is that God gave them into the hand of Rome for a crucifixion and told them to submit, and they refused. In Ecclesiastes 1:9, the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. The eagle of Babylon had a civil war before they fell to the Medo-Persian bear, just as the eagle of the United States will before they fall to the Russian bear. History just repeats. You just have to identify the characters, that's all. Jeremiah 51 and 46, speaking of this civil war. And it says, speaking to God's people, it says, "Let not your heart faint, neither fear ye for the report that shall be heard in the land. For the report shall come one year, and after that the report in another year. And violence shall be in the land, ruler against ruler." Obviously, this is a report of the civil war that Babylon had. We see today, you know, Republicans and Democrats becoming more and more increasingly polarized. And Christians generally, at least conservative Christians, generally call themselves Republicans. And I'm not saying that the war will be between Republicans and Democrats, but we can see it, this polarization taking place. And as a matter of fact, during the Bush-Gore vote fraud fiasco, ammunition sales went up in the United States by 900%. Obviously, somebody was getting ready to fight. And I read the transcript of a couple of radio talk shows, and Republicans on there were openly speaking about fighting. And, you know, a little bit of injustice like that makes people rise up unless they understand that we've been called to die here. We've been called to be crucified, and we're commanded to resist not the evil. We are commanded to resist the principalities and powers, wrestle with principalities and powers, but not flesh and blood.
This series by David Eales will be continued on our next broadcast. Thank you for tuning in. For more information and materials, go to www.americaslastdays.com.